Okay, so a couple of op-ed pieces here. David McLaughlin, Deputy Minister, New Brunswick's government, Conservative Chief of Staff. Why Atlantic Canada risks losing its seat on the Supreme Court bench. Another story from Alex Whalen in the National Post. Atlantic Canada gets secondary status in the new Supreme Court appointment process. Going to do a little unraveling of what, when, why, and how as we reach out and welcome Alex Whalen back to our radio program. Alex, how are you?
Hi, Sheldon. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You are working with AIMS, or how did this association happen with the Atlantic Institute of Market Studies?
Yeah, I'm doing some contract work for AIMS. They are people I've known for a little while, and I think they do good work. So happy to join AIMS in their cause, at least for the time being.
I know you were you're a graduate. You went to Schulich School of Law, and you're discussing or debating what to do with your future. Supreme Court Justice, is that perhaps somewhere down the road?
I certainly wouldn't go that far, but this particular topic is an interesting one.
Yeah, well, given that you've just gone through training, effectively you've gone to law school, you have a sense of what this story is about, and probably more perspective than many of us do, given what your field of study has been. So, Supreme Court of Canada, why does it matter who's appointed?
I guess the short answer to that, I would say, is twofold. First, when provinces entered Confederation into Canada, there is a bargain involved. And part of the bargain is that you will have regional representation in the country's institutions. We see regional representation in Parliament. We see it in the Supreme Court. And it's been a convention and representation in the Senate as well. For a long time. So I think it's important for the players in a confederation to have that sort of representation. The second reason, I suppose, would be context. You know, Supreme Court justices need to be able to bring context to their decisions, and a judge appointed from Ontario or Quebec, you know, would not have an Atlantic regional context to bring to their decision making.
You mentioned the Senate, and you've been on this program talking about, well, specifically Mike Duffy, and part of that regional representation, he was appointed as senator from Prince Edward Island, but wasn't really, because he wasn't in PEI. So does it really matter in this day and age?
Yes, I think the Duffy case is an anomaly, and certainly that's an appointment that the former prime minister might like to have back. But I think the vast majority of senators and the vast majority of parliamentarians do a pretty good job of representing our region. And in fairness, the Supreme Court situation is a little different. When we talk of regional representation, it's not as though a Supreme Court justice would go to the Supreme Court and, you know, be a real cheerleader for Atlantic Canada or be boosting local causes like a parliamentarian would. But they do need to bring sort of a flavor of the region to their job. And as I said, a context. And I think that's a big part of why this is important.
Is it clear, is it absolutely 100% clear that we will not have anyone from Atlantic Canada who will be promoted to that role or appointed to that? Because any qualified judge, I assume that means any qualified judge would be considered. It doesn't necessarily mean anyone from this region will be disqualified.
You are correct. The government has not come out and said Atlantic Canada will be excluded. But that doesn't mean it's not a problem. The Supreme Court goes back as an institution in this country to 1875. And every day since 1875, there's been a justice from this part of the country on the court. What the government has said is that we're opening the process countrywide. And I don't know that they said this, but it's been reported that their ambition is to make it a more diverse court, so to open it up to more people. That is certainly a worthy ambition, but I don't think it should come at the cost of longstanding and important regional representation.
You know, Alex, jobless numbers are out. Number of people here in Nova Scotia lost jobs. We know this has been a trend for years that people have left our region to perhaps go somewhere else in the country. And in fact, you know, I'm thinking of former Liberal Cabinet Minister Anne McClellan, who, you know, was not elected to Parliament from our region, but still had a sense of our communities because she used to live here. She grew up here. Or Lisa Raitt with the Conservatives. She hasn't lived here for a while, but she still has roots here. So is there a possibility that a judge who may be from the Atlantic region, could be somewhere else in this country, and would that necessarily, you know, where they live, does that necessarily influence how they may represent or reflect the values and perhaps thoughts in this part of the world?
I think in that case, you would want to look at the degree of connection. There have been lots of instances where a Supreme Court justice is appointed, and perhaps they were living in Ontario at the time, but they represent another region because their substantial connection, you know, is to the other region. Certainly, Atlantic Canada has lots of expats across the country who have a substantial connection to the region. They could appoint somebody in that case, and, you know, if it was the right candidate, that would be fine. But I think the issue here is specifically saying we're not tying this appointment to any region, and that disproportionately impacts Atlantic Canada because we only have one seat in this institution. It's not like Parliament where you take away one seat, well, maybe the person next door can make up for it. There are 9 seats in the court, and in Atlantic Canada, we've only ever had one. We probably only should have one, but it's important that one be protected.
Well, the court itself is in Ottawa, so how is this any different than a senator having a home in two different places?
The court being in Ottawa, I guess most jurists are appointed fairly late career, 50s, 60s, so they tend to bring a whole career's worth of experience in their home jurisdiction. When it comes to Mike Duffy, as I say, I would categorize that as a failed appointment, so I think it's distinguishable on that basis.
On the line here this afternoon, Alex Whalen, who's written about Atlantic Canada getting secondary status in the new Supreme Court appointment process. It is an opinion piece, as you rightfully point out, and as you also say, Ames is working towards this. I'm just curious, what position is your position, Ames' position, or do you just happen to be working with them?
I wrote the piece for Ames, so I would say that perhaps not every word, but substantially the piece speaks for Ames as well. At Ames here, you know, we focus mostly on economic issues, but we're interested in Atlantic Canada and prosperity for the region and looking out for the region. So to that extent, I would say we are in alignment.
I was going to say the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies. Why is this, you know, an important issue?
It's important that Atlantic Canada and Atlantic Canadians have a representation in an institution that has an effect on the lives of everyday Canadians all across the country. The Supreme Court of Canada makes a couple dozen very critical decisions that affect people every single year, and the Supreme Court of Canada needs to reflect Canada. And in fact, I think the Liberal government, if I didn't mention this earlier, I think some of their reforms are very good in terms of, you know, ensuring a better representation on the court. This is just the one element of the decision that I would say is unacceptable, or should be unacceptable for Atlantic Canadians.
There have been steps towards reforming the Senate in a way, the change up, you know, there are Senate vacancies and people are applying now to become a senator. There have been discussion, there's committee meeting and talking about restructuring our democracy in this country. What's wrong with maybe taking a second look at how we, staff the highest court in the land?
I'd say there's not a thing wrong with taking a second look at it. And I think, in fact, you can accomplish the objectives that the governing party is trying to accomplish without removing the Atlantic Canadian requirement. If you look at the reforms that they promised, they've added parliamentary scrutiny to the process. I think that's very good. They've added an arm's length committee or commission to help vet candidates. I think that's very good. Prime Minister didn't specifically say this, but it's been widely reported that he's seeking a female Aboriginal candidate. Females have been underrepresented in the Supreme Court. Aboriginals have never been represented in the Supreme Court. I think those are all worthy goals. What I would like to see is a way for those goals to be achieved without cost for Atlantic Canada, and I think it's possible.
Well, bilingual means two languages. Are they saying it has to be French-English?
I believe my interpretation of their announcement this week is that they have written in a bilingualism requirement. And I do find that somewhat problematic because bilingualism has never been an issue on the court. There's a constitutional guarantee that Quebec, for example, has 3 seats in the court. And we have seen bilingual justices from Ontario, from New Brunswick over history. So to unilaterally write that into the process is a bit of an issue for me, but that would be secondary to Atlantic Canada's cause in this.
Fascinating. And Alex, this took a little different direction since I did hear you earlier today. So again, just to give you some context as to why perhaps the questions were a little different than what we may have been facing other than hearing this earlier in the day. So thank you for this.
Sure.
Appreciate having your opinion on the air.
Yeah, well, happy to join you again.
All right. Ames, you can go to the Ames website and you can find the piece there too.
Yes, that's right. The piece is on the Ames website. It's ames.ca, and we'll have this covered from a number of angles, and you might find some different perspectives there. So I'd encourage people to check that out.
All right. Alex Whalen, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Sheldon.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye-bye.
You too.